we supposed to get married?
I'm going
to
just swipe
I just want somebody to share my life.
Halfway through, I called her my ex's name, so it's not like we could pretend it wasn't a big deal.
You can keep waiting for the fairy tale, or you can get on board with the new rules of relationships. If you've read my advice in the LA Times, then you know this ain't your mama's love advice. This is Dates and Mates with Damona Hoffman.
Welcome to the Dates and Mates House of Horrors. Enter if you dare. I'm just kidding. Welcome to Dates and Mates. I'm Damona Hoffman, your certified dating coach, here to help you navigate all of the challenges of dating and relationships today. If you're new here, welcome. This is a different kind of episode. This is a special where every year we round up the funniest, craziest, wildest, absolute worst dates in history. Then I break them down and tell you how you can avoid getting yourself trapped in one of these spooky situations. But first, we have some Halloween-themed headlines that you absolutely need to hear, including the best couples costumes of the year and say boo to ghosting by sending one of these sassy comeback texts. Plus, how to avoid a disaster date with the phases of safe dating in the era of COVID. Then we will get into your creepiest, craziest, absolutely most horrific dating horror stories. That's what's coming up on today's Dates and Mates. Let's do these headlines.
Dee's dating dish.
Since we still have a few days left to go before Halloween, Mashable was nice enough to give us the top Halloween costumes for couples. Now, personally, I've never been much of a couples costume gal. We did do a themed costume last year. For those who've been following the show for a while, we did an Addams Family and my whole family participated. Let me tell you, I rocked some Morticia Addams and it was scarily accurate how well my daughter played Wednesday. But if you are looking for a costume for you and your boo to dress up as, have you thought about doing an absentee ballot and a ballot box? Maybe even one with a hanging Chad. No, the Chads, that's long gone. Hopefully we won't have to worry about this anymore. This is a new one. Tiger King. Remember that? Tiger King. You could be Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. Although, for those of you who also ride Peloton, my friend Cody Rigsby, he's not really my friend, but he feels like my friend because I ride on the bike with him, a part of the Boo crew. He's been saying for a while, y'all need to get a little bit more creative because everybody's going to be showing up as Joe Exotic and Carol Baskin. But maybe you should try being Mike Pence and the Fly. Oh, a little political humor in your costume could go a long way. Or maybe you want to pay homage to Emily in Paris by being Emily and a baguette or another French item. Good luck getting your guy to dress up as a baguette. But hey, let's get a little bit creative. We're having Halloween at home this year. Why not make it fun? Ghosting is one of the worst parts of dating. I think we can all agree to that. Bustle, though, has an answer to this because they've given us all these texts that you can send to someone who ghosted you. And believe me, when I was single, this happened to me too. And I always wanted closure. I always wanted to know what happened. So maybe you should try saying something like, seems like your phone's been dead for 3 weeks. I have an extra charger if you need to borrow it. No, or number two, I take it you're not a great texter. Want to meet for drinks and an IRL convo? That could really jumpstart you into conversation if they're still interested, but maybe you got lost somehow in the shuffle. Or you can say, it's been a minute, want to check that you're okay, which I feel like is the most common of the ghosting responses. But let's be honest here. If you haven't heard from him or her in 3 weeks, like the article says, do you think that they just lost your number? Do you really think you're lost in the sauce? Or do you think that maybe this person is not going to show up for you in a respectful way, no matter what happens? Even if you get a response to your text, is that really somebody that you want to be with? Look, I'm not here for ghosting, but I'm also not here for zombieing. And even if they come back from the grave with some sad, sad story about what had happened to them in the time that you weren't talking, I still think you can do better. I know many people out there are still trying to do better, and it is still possible to date in the pandemic, even though we are at the cusp of wave two. So I wrote an article, this is actually on my own blog on DamonaHoffman.com, about the phases of safe dating. Look, people who tell me that they get ghosted, most of the time, they tell me the same process, that they were texting with someone, they're messaging back and forth, and then they just were like, hey, let's go on a date. And now it's a social distance date. But what they're doing is skipping the phone call or the video chat. And I've been about this phone call for a long time, you guys. And I've seen how when you actually connect with someone off of the app and really make yourself not just a name in a phone, not just somebody in the DMs, but actually a real person. And then you can filter and see, is there a vibe here that I want to explore? Do I get an icky feeling about this person? Or am I really excited to take this further? That really can set you up for success and help you avoid a lot of the dating disasters that you're going to hear about in the next segment. So that's my big advice. But you can find out all of the new phases of dating apps and online dating in 2020 if you go to DamonaHoffman.com. As always, we will put the link to all of these amazing stories in the show notes. And when we come back, it's time to hear your stories of dating horrors. Don't go anywhere. There's some really funny ones. There's some really crazy ones. And there's some good advice of how you can avoid getting stuck in the same situation coming right up. Welcome back to Dates and Mates. I love Halloween. I'm so sad. I know you all are too. I'm so sad that Halloween got canceled along with everything else in our lives this year. But I feel like it's up to me and all of you to keep the Halloween spirit going. So as we have always done on the show for the last 8 seasons, I am giving you more Halloween dating horror stories for this week's episode. We have had so many that were submitted to us by listeners. And also, we captured dating horror stories from a few of the favorite guests from earlier this season. So we're going to kick it off with a listener named Alex, who had a crazy dating horror story.
It wasn't so much as bad as it was just weird. I met this guy for drinks, and it was obvious he was trying to get me drunk. He said he was impressed by my drink order, and the fact that I drink tequila rocks was sexy. We drank, but the conversation was bad. I don't think I learned a single thing about him, except he was a 35-year-old man whose biggest accomplishment was winning a water polo championship in high school. At some point, the bartender even came over to chat with us because he could tell I was bored. But hey, the drinks were free and the guy didn't look like he minded my expensive tequila habit, so I just kept drinking. He said his friends were up the street at a bar and asked if I wanted to go. I said sure, and we somehow ended up at a gay bar. He pulled out a sheet of paper labeled Sex Party Questionnaire and tried to take a survey of my sexual experiences. It was weird. I ordered one more drink on him and then went and danced with the go-go dancers.
Ooh, wow, that is a doozy on multiple levels. First of all, drinking on a date, you have to know my rule is that you set a drink maximum, not a drink minimum, a drink maximum that you know is the point where you start to make bad decisions, you're not really in control of what happens, to make sure that you are not just drinking to get through the date. Because remember, you can always end the date when you are always in control of when the date ends, right? Or make sure that you stay in control of when the date ends. And I think one way to do that is by not over drinking. Gotta say that. But second of all, oh my goodness, sex questionnaire. I give the guy points for trying to make the date a little bit more fun, but that is a little bit too much for even, I wouldn't even do that. And before like the third date? And why do you need to know about that person's whole sexual history? That's a definite pass. That's a definite pass for me. All right. We have another dating horror story that comes to us from another listener named Cheryl.
Okay. So I hate nature. It's because I'm allergic to a lot of nature and I hate it. I'm an environmentalist. I don't want to destroy it, but please don't put me in it. So second date with a guy and he's like, let's just go on a little nature hike. Like, you know how I feel about nature. Oh, come on, Cheryl. It'll be fun. It's just a little hike. Turned out to be a 2-mile hike. I started itching. Like, I was scratching my legs to the point that they were bleeding because I wore a skirt. Because remember, it was just going to be this tiny little hike. Mm-hmm. 2 miles. 2 miles. By the time I was done, I had scratched my legs raw. My arms, like I had broken out on my arms because I had like hit up against something. Remember, it's 2 miles. He said that we were just gonna go on a little nature hike, not a 2-mile trek. Needless to say, he did not get any.
Ooh, Cheryl. I appreciate the passion in that story. Clearly, she still has some feelings about this date. Here is an important reminder. When you are going on a date, make sure you are really prepared for whatever situation you are being set up for. And I know I hear all the time from ladies that they're like, I don't want to plan a date. I just want a guy to do it all for me. I just want to show up and be surprised. But you see what surprise gets you. It gets you itchy ass legs. It gets you cuts and scrapes and and it gets you an allergic reaction. So I would say, if you know that nature's not going to be good for you or whatever situation it is that you are walking into, it's okay to say, why don't we do something else instead? But at the very least, if he says hike, make sure you have your good walking shoes on and you wear long pants. We have another question from a listener who prefers to remain anonymous. Sounds like this one is a doozy.
All right, so it was a Tinder date last year. We matched, right? And the conversation, it trailed off, of course. But a few weeks later, she hit me up and she asked me to meet at a restaurant. Great. I assumed we'd get dinner. Well, I guess that was my mistake. We didn't meet in the restaurant. We met outside on the street. When I got there, there was a huge crowd of people and I was really confused. I kind of just stood around awkwardly until she found me. She gave me this huge hug and she thanked me for being there as if I'd signed up for some sort of rally. Well, it took me an embarrassing long amount of time to realize she'd lured me to some sort of ultra-religious anti-abortion rally, and they were not only in front of the restaurant, they were there trying to get it shut down. I'm not sure what the connection was there, but listen, I didn't stick around long enough to find out.
I have to admit, that is a first. I actually thought he was going to go a different direction because I had heard this story about a woman that, as like a publicity stunt, was messaging all of these guys on Tinder, and then they showed up and it was a competition to win a date with her that was being filmed for some social media campaign. I don't know. I thought that's where he was going with it. So this was definitely a curveball that I didn't see coming. Sounds like he didn't either. Maybe this is a vote for let sleeping zombies lie. If she ghosted you once and it didn't look like it was going to work out, you should be suspicious if you suddenly get a very enthusiastic invitation to another date. Do you remember the astrology and tarot episode from earlier this season? Our friend Danny, turns out he's had some dating situations to deal with himself. Take a listen. Danny, welcome back to the show. I hear that you have a dating horror story to share with us. What happened?
Damona, it all began at Red Lobster.
You had me at Red Lobster.
All right, well, it didn't start at Red Lobster. We got to backtrack just a little bit. As every, 18, 19-year-old gay does in the late 2010s, I was on OkCupid. And
of course you were.
This was my first exposure to online dating and actually being able to meet other gay people without it being like, are you gay? Are you gay?
It says it right there on the profile.
Exactly. Either they were gay, bisexual, pansexual, sapiosexual, demisexual.
They tell you right up front.
It's all on the table. Business. I'm a kid in a candy store. I'm looking at all these guys' abs and et cetera. Because that's what men post.
Selfies.
Exactly. So, and I come across this guy named Jacob. And I really liked that he had blue eyes. His profile said he liked Britney Spears. I love Britney Spears. And he said he was a football player. So I was like, ooh, a little variety. This is great. And he was Russian. So I was like, wow, this guy's got a lot going for him.
You have a thing for the Russians?
I do. I mean, one of my favorite musicians is named Regina Spektor, and she's Russian. I was just like obsessed with her.
Danny, I never told you something about me.
What? Are you Regina Spektor?
I'm not Regina Spektor. You want to guess again?
Are you Russian?
Yes!
No way!
Well, yeah, my grandfather is from Russia. But anyways.
Oh my God.
But anyways.
I played a Russian in a school play in high school, and like it was a whole thing. Synchronicity. So Jacob, the beautiful blue-eyed Russian, enters my life. We chat and we decide, okay, we're gonna have our first date. And he's like, why don't you come down? I think it's called Monterey, Michigan, which was like 2 hours away from where I live.
No, I'm also from Michigan and I've never heard of Monterey. So I know you were going somewhere deep in the backwoods.
Someone deep in the backwoods. And it was like, okay, I didn't tell my mom where I was going, took the car, drove down to Monterey.
Sweet. No, okay, then you've made a dating, a key online dating mistake. You didn't tell your mom where you're going. Does anyone know where your dead body is going to be found?
My friend Nikki always knew where I was going.
Okay, somebody knows where you're going. So we have a backup plan.
We had a whole
thing. On your way to Monterey. I did not try to rhyme there, but it just
You can't help it, Damona. The poet inside. So, basically, he doesn't really look like his photos. He was about 30 pounds heavier than he actually was. And for me, that wasn't that big of a deal. I was more like, okay, well, maybe, you know, we'll just get to know each other. I'm sure he's got a lovely personality. His smile's really nice.
Did he have the blue eyes, though, the blue Russian eyes?
He had the blue Russian eyes and this beautiful smile.
Okay, we can work.
So I was like, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's see what Jacob's all about.
You're eating some cheesy biscuits, you know. You're
okay, about the cheesy biscuits, he ate all of them.
Oh!
So that was the second red flag, because you know you go to Red Lobster to get the biscuits.
Right, and then they put three in, one for you, one for
the other.
Your guest, and then one that you can fight over.
Yes, or like where somebody kind of awkwardly waits and is like, are you going to eat that? Because that's what I always do.
Right?
So anyway.
Now I'm already mad. Okay, then what happened?
So we got an appetizer. We split the appetizer. He got a glass of wine. He knows that I just drove 2 hours out of the way. And we have this dinner. The conversation flows okay. We talk a little bit more about Britney Spears. Because, you know, that's what we do. Somehow we racked up like a $100 bill at Red Lobster. And for two
people. That's a lot of seafood.
Yeah, I think we got the fried seafood platter or something too.
I'll do it.
So I'm like, you know what? This is my first time taking a guy out on a date. I'm gonna cover it. Even though I just drove 2 hours down, this guy was like, he must have been in his late 20s. I was in my early 20s. He had a job. I was in school. I think I was coming on a little hard.
Yeah.
But I figured, okay, I'm going to give it my best shot. I pay for dinner. He's super grateful. We get in the car and he's driving back to his house because I had left my car there. And while we're driving in his car, he's like, you want to see something cool? And I was like, what? And he's like, all right, kiss me. And he's literally driving the car and like wants me to kiss him while he's moving forward. And I'm like, okay, so I did it really quickly. And he's like, no, you have to like keep your mouth there. I used to do this with my ex all the time. And I was like, okay. So I gave it a shot for a couple seconds and then he almost ran the red light. And I was like, okay, I can't do this, I'm sorry.
You gotta arrive alive.
Amen. So at this point, my friend is texting me. She's like, is it going okay? And I'm like, yeah, it's going okay. He seems nice. I'm a little nervous. Being as young and naive as I was, I didn't really recognize that these were like significant red flags.
Well, now we are all older and wiser and more successful in love than we were back then.
Amen.
Thank you, Danny. I appreciate you sharing your cautionary tale, and hopefully it will keep someone else from another dating horror story like that one. See, this is the thing. We know what the red flags are. We know what we should be looking for, but sometimes we talk ourselves out of it. And in Danny's case, of course, he was very young and, like he said, naive, inexperienced in dating. This was his first experience also going out with a guy, and I'm sure the nerves were running high, but it's definitely a problem. If your dude eats all of the cheddar biscuits from Red Lobster, you've got to know that that's the time to end it before you even get in the car with him and before he drives blindfolded. We have another listener who submitted this story. Ian has a little bit of a flip on the traditional dating horror story. Listen to this.
This is a dating horror story in the way that I just realized I'm somebody's dating horror story. I was kind of into this girl in college, not like hugely into her, but she was into me, so I thought we could see if something was there. I was kind of broke then, but I had a Saturday night date routine that never failed. I was going to take her to my favorite bar, The Chicken. We were going to get a $12 pitcher of sangria to either celebrate or grieve the A&M game. Maybe if we were feeling it, we'd get a $12 pitcher of beer after and then see whatever party was going on that night. It never failed. Except for this time. First off, I forgot we made plans, so I was 40 minutes late. My buddy had to drop me off because I'd been drinking all day. Halfway through, I called her my ex's name, who's her sorority sister, so it's not like we could pretend it wasn't a big deal. My friends showed up and I started talking to them. Literally 30 minutes later, I noticed she just left. I don't blame her. For the next 2 years, we never spoke again and she pretended she didn't know me. I think she's married and has 2 kids though, so things turned out all right for her.
Look, Ian, if you know that you are not in a state for the date, you gotta cancel. I hate canceling dates. I personally pride myself on being a woman of integrity and showing up when I say I'm going to. But look, if you know you're going to be sloppy ass drunk and the date is not going to go well, I think she would appreciate just a little bit of honesty and just save her the embarrassment and the awkwardness of going on a date like that. Sounds like you learned something, and that kind of dating horror story won't happen to you again. One of our top episodes of the season was with the Cosmopolitan magazine editor, Taylor Andrews, and she was nice enough to share one of her dating horror stories with us.
So I matched with this guy on a dating app, and you know, we were having that like conversation of what do? Where do you work? And I told him, you know, I work for Cosmopolitan magazine. He looked me up, saw that I write about sex and relationships, so he got really freaked. He was scared. And I think when he looked at my articles, he may have seen like an article I've done recently about going on a date with someone. And mind you, like, I'm not Andy Anderson. Like, I don't write about my own dating sex life, but there are times when I will do that. So, but that wasn't the case with this guy. I was just actively dating at that time. So he was a little freaked and nervous about like going on a date with me because he thought I was going to write an article about him. So when I got to the bar that we were meeting at, he asked me to pull out my email so that he could look through my emails to make sure that I wasn't writing an article about him.
What? First of all, what would that even prove? Like looking at your email? Second of all, please tell me you did not give him your phone, right? You were just like, thanks and bye-bye.
Oh my gosh, no way. I was like, I am not writing an article about you. This is like highly inappropriate. And then he kind of blew it off as like, oh, well, I'm just joking. But I never talked to him again. Like finished my drink right then and there and then walked off. So that was terrible.
Actually, you should write an article about this guy now.
I should, right? I always want to do that type of thing. So that was like my work horror story, because that's just never appropriate, I think, to ask for someone's phone.
Revenge journalism is always so sweet. But the moral of the story for my listeners, don't ask for someone's phone. That is one of the most intimate and personal things that you can do in today's dating world. So it's an absolute no-no.
Our listener, Lisa, sent us this next one.
Hi, I'm Damona. This is Lisa, and I'm giving you a call from Manitoba in Canada. So this happened to me approximately almost 10 years ago, I would say, going on that, at least 8. And I was on the dating app Plenty of Fish. I found this one gentleman who, physically appearing, was very nice. I would have to say that the lust definitely went over any sort of logic. But there was quite a few red flags, and I ended up canceling on him. And my best friend is like, yep, that's a good idea. Her husband called us up and was like, you girls are so negative. This is why you're single. You never give anyone a chance. Just go out for coffee, see what happens. So my friend's husband convinced me to uncancel what I canceled and meet him for coffee. We should have trusted, or I should have trusted my intuition, as well as my friends. Because once I went for coffee, like, oh, by the way, I'm on house arrest and I shouldn't leave my apartment. I don't know. Young and stupid and in my mid-20s and still lust winning over. Like, okay, it's just for some marijuana. I'll give you a chance. So I go over to his apartment and at some point we did get intimate and all of a sudden he was choking me and he slapped me. And I was very taken aback at this. I'm pretty sure I was like, what the fuck is happening? And he stopped and was like, I thought you'd be into this. Like, no, you need to talk with someone about what they're into before you get physical during intimacy, other than the regular, quote unquote, normal missionary stuff you do during sex. And so anyway, we got back into it and became intimate. So, and then I, out of the blue, just, I like to be dominant and I like to get even. I'm a bit of a revenge fuck, I guess. So I choke him and I just slap him real hard. And like, what, are you not into this shit? I thought you were into it. No. So he didn't appreciate that and we weren't into it. And I can laugh about this now just because I became unscathed, but no, very many women in the world don't. So I'm just glad that I was lucky in that situation and me and my friends can laugh about it and I can share it with you and everyone else can have a laugh at this dickwad for being an idiot. So hopefully he's learned.
I have to acknowledge this is obviously a story that turned out okay, but could have gone very wrong. It could have been a real dating horror story. So I want to make sure that you all are being safe with your dating, that you are being clear with your boundaries. And if you ever get in a situation with someone who is being violent to you, make sure, like Lisa did, that you're really clear about your boundaries and your expectations and that you're not playing with this. That said, I think we knew where this date was headed the moment she said house arrest. If a dude cannot take you out on a date because he has an ankle bracelet that will not allow him to leave the perimeter of his home, that might not be your guy. For our final dating horror story, I got on the phone with my friend Troy, who is a writer and producer in reality TV, and he has shared a story in his new book, 100 Poems About Los Angeles, that I just had to have you here. All right. I heard that my friend Troy, who is a TV producer, has one of the most LA, typical LA dating horror stories that has ever been told. He told all about it in his new book, 100 Poems About Los Angeles. Troy, let's get into it. What happened on this LA dating horror story date?
Oh, it's so very Los Angeles. And you'll think it happened in 1983, but it happened in 2003. Some friends fixed me up on a date, and I met this young lady at a restaurant in Los Feliz. And she walked in and was very bubbly and effervescent and friendly. And we sat down and started to have a conversation. And she said, well, you know, is there anything you aren't liking about Los Angeles? And I said, well, I don't really like the idea that I have to pay to park everywhere, which was literally the only gripe I could think about was everywhere. You know, you go to a job, you pay $100 a month to park for a parking space.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, well, I don't think you have to worry about that. And I said, well, what does that mean? She says, well, I was on the Writers Guild website this afternoon looking at the MBA, the Minimum Basic Agreement, and I know how much writers make, so that shouldn't be a problem. And I said, I work in reality television, which is completely non-union. Like, I don't know what numbers you are thinking I am making, but I guarantee you those are not the numbers I am making. And she literally stood up and put her bag on her shoulder and said, well, I don't think this is going to work out, and walked out of the restaurant.
What?
And the next day, I ate her entree for lunch in my cubicle.
I'm making your reality TV salary.
That's right. It was a bad date, but the ravioli was excellent.
At least you got something out of it.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. What kind of friends do you have that set you up on a date with this kind of woman?
They're very nice friends. I mean, admittedly, one of the two friends that set me up was like fourth generation money, so I should have figured out there was something going on in that circle.
Oh my goodness. What an LA story. That is, I feel like, what people typically think of when they think of dating in LA. But that's not everyone in Los Angeles.
No, it's absolutely not. That's why it's a horror story. If it was everyone, I would have thrown myself off the H by now.
Well, that would at least make a good reality TV show, but please don't do that.
Yes, I would have peg-insulted it off of there a long time ago.
Gold diggers are not just a Hollywood problem. They're an everywhere problem. And just know they can come in any shape, size, or gender. So be on the lookout for that kind of dating horror story and just be yourself. Doesn't matter how much money you make. Doesn't matter what you do for a living. Somebody is going to love you for who you are and the things that are really important about your values, your goals, and your personality. Thank you so much for joining me on another tour of the Dates and Mates House of Horrors. As always, we will put those dating dish stories that we discussed in the show recap at datesandmates.com. This was episode 333 of Dates and Mates. I would say that is an auspicious number for sure. And I want to hear your questions. We have a special Dear Damona all Q&A episode coming up next week, and I am still taking questions for that. So if you would like to leave a voicemail for me and hear your voice on a future episode of Dates and Mates with my advice, why not give me a call? You can leave me a voicemail at 424-246-6255. Don't be shy. Give me a call, 424-246-6255, or you can DM me your question at Damona Hoffman on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. I love hearing from you. I love answering your questions, and I love doing all Dear Damona episodes. So that's what you can expect from Dates and Mates next week. Until then, I wish you happy dating.